On today's episode, we are wrapping up Jordan's trip aboard the Disney Wish in part three of our three-part series. All aboard. This is episode 114 of the Off the Monorails podcast. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Off the Monorails podcast. My name is Justin. I am here with both of my colleagues, Jordan and Ryan, as usual. Fellas, how's your evening?
Hello. Doing good.
What's up, dude? Doing just fine over here. How about yourself?
Doing well. I see Jordan is prepared for the occasion to wrap up his episode with a ice cold beer in hand.
Yes. Why not, right? We'll be talking about a little bit of the island. Hey. Life today, so got in the spirit, so to speak.
Yeah, why not?
I feel that. So So I'm not gonna hold us up any further. So without further ado, Jordan, let's go ahead and be an island boy.
This has been a good series for me. I'll tell you, we've been working on the YouTube content to go along with this cruise experience, which will be on YouTube. At the time that you're listening to this episode, it's out there on YouTube. So go check it out. You can find us at Off the Monorails on YouTube and all digital platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, what have you. We're out there at Off the Monorails. But go check out our YouTube channel. Go subscribe. Go check out the video for the cruise, and you'll get to hear and see a lot of the things that we've talked about over the past couple of weeks, unraveling this cruise experience. And, the video is meant to be, a visual representation, but also just kind of take you along with us as we experience some of the things, some of the highlights of the trip, where, these episodes have been really nice because it's allowed me to dive deeper into some of the, the day-to-day things and get a little bit more involved, so to speak. So, but it's been fun going through these episodes with you guys and talking through everything and recounting that, and then seeing all the video information. It's just going through all the video and
reminiscing.
It's just kind of helped me relive this thing over and over and over again, right? We've been back for a few weeks now, and it's been fun to kind of go through the archive, so to speak. So thank you for listening, everyone, and thank you for watching now on YouTube as we unpack this thing. So if you haven't listened to the other episodes, last week's episode or the week prior, definitely go back and check those out for part one and part two of this little mini series of our first ever experience on Disney Cruise Lines and the Disney Wish that my family and I got to go experience a few weeks back. So part three opens up with us arriving to Castaway Cay, which is Disney's private island in the Bahamas. And this was one of those that I knew we'd be arriving earlier in the day, around 7:30 or so. And so this was one, honestly, guys, this was kind of the highlight of the trip, right? I wanted to make sure that we were here. This was the day that we were all waiting for, so to speak, right? Like, this was the moment that all the culmination, right? Castaway is one of those destinations that people love.
Yeah,
we've heard so many great things. Yeah. And it's for us, right? It was the destination. Nassau, as we mentioned on the last episode, we didn't treat Nassau as a destination. We stayed on the ship the whole time we were there at port. But Castaway was much different. We were up early. I was catching the sun as it was rising above the, cresting over and on the horizon, and we're still getting into port there at Castaway, getting up for an early breakfast, because our strategy was, let's get up to breakfast early at Marceline Market, which again is the buffet kind of area there on the ship. And that way we can be some of the first people off the ship onto Castaway. It was our first time at Castaway. Yeah. And what my theory was is that if we get an early start, we'll beat a lot of people onto the beaches and stuff. Those beaches do get popular, right? They have They're very popular for families. And that was going to be our focus, was the family beaches, because there is an adult only section called Serenity Bay that's on the other side of the island that you'll take a tram to. And then they've got, you know, food and activities and all that stuff as well. But my goal was, since we didn't have really any activities or excursions or port adventures planned, we were just going to be enjoying some of the beach time, just relaxing and things like that, is that I wanted to make sure we got the maximum amount of time we could on the island. And so we got up early, had a nice breakfast over at Marceline Market, and then went down to deck two and got off the deck two or deck one. Yeah, no, deck one, actually. We got off the ship there on Castaway and greeted instantly with people handing out, you know, water. You could go buy water. Bottles of water. They had, you know, little water stations out there. They had towels for you to take to the beach with you, all right there ready for you, right? And it was just so well organized, such a machine that they run, and it's super efficient. The experience is fantastic. They have a tram station that, and we waited maybe a couple minutes, and we're just going photo crazy and video crazy, yeah, getting all this, you know, when we get there. It's just so beautiful. And again, this is early morning, right? We're getting off the ship at, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and it's just so beautiful right there in the islands. The water is crystal blue and just amazing. And you'll see that in the video, obviously on YouTube too. It's just so much cool, you know, things there to see and do. So we made our way over to the first, we took the tram over to the first family beach area. This beach is very, you know, extensive, right? It's kind of makes this half moon kind of crest shape. And along the way, you've got different bars that open later. Plenty of chairs and seating, umbrellas, that sort of thing. There's essentially two chairs for every person aboard that ship. So you're not going to run out of chairs. You know, everyone's going to have a chair, but hammocks and things like that, just amazing. So we staked our spot, you know, staked our claim to a spot. And what's great too is they have, you know, the nice long chairs, and then they've got some of the shorter chairs. Then I immediately just took a couple straight down to the shoreline, popped them right into, you know, waist deep water, and just sat there.
Oh, you had
and
like the a kids started Floridian going now. Crazy.
Oh, it was great, man. It was just instant, you know, I came ready, right? So
that's what it
did. Just, you know, kids started going crazy immediately, you know, in the water. I wanted to just sit down, enjoy and relax and just start taking in the day. So that's what most of our day consisted of on Castaway, was actually sitting, relaxing and just enjoying the water, enjoying the sun, enjoying the company, getting to talk to people. We actually met other people from Jacksonville.
Oh, wow.
Right there on the beach, you know, I had a DTWD hat on, and and they were
no
like,
big deal.
Are you from Jacksonville? Like, yeah. They're like, all right. Like, I saw that. So, you know, it's just, you never know who you're going to run into, sort
That's
of thing.
Awesome.
So it's good. And then after a little bit, you know, kids still were playing around and the whole family's there on the beach, and it's getting more and more, you know, popular. More and more people are starting to slowly come onto the island. And that would be the case pretty much for the rest of the day, is you still consistently had a crowd just slowly but surely coming over to the island from the ship. But I started exploring a little bit, went to some of the little shops, and they have like some pretty cool shops that have some exclusive Castaway Key merch. So if you are a merch kind of fanatic, you kind of want to take a look in there, right? Especially earlier in the day, they can easily sell out of things because the merchandise only comes with the ships, right? So they're dependent on the ships bringing the inventory. And there is a ship there 5 or 6 days out of the week on Castaway, but you never know, right? And they were out of some things, even as early as 10:30 when I started going to look at the shops.
Yeah.
But they have some, you know, some like Disney merchandise, Castaway Key merchandise, Disney Cruise Line merchandise. They've got plenty of the, you know, sand activities and things like that. If you want to get some like sand pails and things like that, for shovel for the kids,
yep,
whatnot. They've got some shops that have like Bahamian craft goods as well, which is cool. And then they've got, like I said, they've got a lot of activities spread out across the island. You've got like sports courts and things like that. You can go play basketball and stuff in. They've got a dig site for the kids, like a specific site that's just nothing but like playing in sand, digging and stuff like that.
That was smart.
So that's, yeah, really, really cool there. They've got, they actually have an extension of the Oceaneer Club, which is the kid club on the ship. They have an extension of that program on the island. So if you want to enroll, take your kid over there for a few hours while you go and enjoy the beach by yourself, you know, just the adults. If you want to go over to the adult only beach on Serenity Bay, you could do that. But yeah, they even bring that program onto the island, which I thought was really, really cool. They have over kind of near the second family beach, so just the second tram stop, so to speak, a little bit further down. They had more shops there. They had, you know, some other bars like frozen drinks stands. They had plenty of like bathrooms and showers and things like that too, to, you know, just accommodate everyone. They had like fresh fruit stands. You just walk up and grab some fresh mango or papaya or something, you know, chips, that sort of thing. They had soft serve everywhere. You know, it was just, I was really impressive how they had everything laid out. And yeah, the island's a little older of an island, right? And Disney debuts Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point later this year, you know, later this summer. And that's going to be impressive, right? It's brand new construction, brand new build, everything there. But I was still impressed with this island, right? It had all the right Disney touches to it. And so I was impressed with everything that it had to offer. You can do in the mornings, they do a 5K. So they do a Castaway Key Island 5K that you go and sign up for.
Wow.
I didn't do it personally, but my parents did. So they went over and you basically go along the island, different spots of the island. And they have like a little course set up. The island also has an airway, like an air landing strip. There's some history to the island, but it used to fly planes onto it. And so part of the course actually goes along that runway. You can rent bikes and stuff too, to kind of, to ride out there and see different points of interest. But yeah. And then you, they got a little like 5K finisher medal.
Nice.
So it's a little Castaway Key, little medal for their 5K there. And they had some 5K merchandise for sale too, at one of the shops as well. So you can kind of celebrate the occasion, by, you know, getting a little merchandise or whatnot. So it's another fun little thing that you can only do there. Right.
Yeah.
And you can only get that. Yeah. Yeah. So, maybe I'll bring my running shoes next time and, you know, take part myself. We'll see.
So quick question, and off the monorails fashion, we cannot let this slide because I'm surprised we haven't addressed this yet. How are the shitter facilities?
Oh God.
So what are we talking?
We're talking, I felt like I was, what's the best way I could put this? I felt like I was at a campground maybe, where it was like open air a little bit. Like obviously you've got a roof, but it's like, you've got basically fans, you know, blowing the air up top. You're not relying on an AC enclosed structure sort of thing, right? It's not a brick building facility, right? Throw up some wood and make a little shed out of it, basically, and that's your bathroom facilities. Now, I mean, that obviously, that I don't want to make it sound archaic, right? Like it's plumbing and all that, but it was open air. It felt like I was at a campground, like a nice campground. That's
I'm,
what
I'm definitely
like.
Dumping at Castaway Key. Definitely. Yeah,
that's on the checklist, just, right?
Yeah. You know, leave a little piece of you behind.
That's right. That's right.
Leave your mark on things, so to speak.
Yeah. But we got to take part. I went to one of the bars there. They have a pretty good drink selection there. Again, most of the alcoholic drinks you're going to find on the island are, of course, you know, rum based or something very very island inspired, right? Yeah. They do actually have a couple souvenir cups, and one of them is a coconut that you can. It's a little Disney Cruise Line coconut.
Please tell me that is a Kakamora.
No, it's just a standard.
What a missed opportunity.
Standard coconut.
What a missed opportunity.
You know, I don't know, maybe we'll make some merchandise out of that idea.
Ooh.
That might be a thing. I don't know. We'll see. You never know. But I've got a lot of great ideas for Disney Cruise Line inspired merchandise. Some of it is already on our website, offthemonorails.com. So go check that out. We wore some of it on the ship actually for this trip. Ryan's got some too to wear on his trip. There's things in the works. Ideas are cooking because there was a lot of inspiration on the ship and on the at the destinations. So I'll leave that at that right now. So, but always be on the lookout, offthemonorails.com.
Shameless plug.
Yes. But the bars were good. Good selection. I was a little disappointed. You know, we're going to talk about the beer selection a little bit. And I was disappointed that they didn't have any, like, Bohemian beers to choose from. Like, they didn't have any cultural beers, you know, any local beers. It was just like Bud Light. It was, you know, Mick Ultra. It was Corona. I was so disappointed that they didn't have any Bohemian beers. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they'll get together. I told the bartender, I'm like, man, we gotta get with the program. Let me know what survey I can fill out to make sure that we get some Bohemian beers on Castaway. So
let my people contact your people.
Yeah.
Get some culture in this place.
Right. Because the guy said, he was like, well, I was like, I asked him what beer they had. And he's like, oh, well, I got some domestics. He's like, well, not domestic, like not Bohemian, but like Budweiser or Bud Light. Or something. I was like, okay, I see. But yeah, after a while, you know, a few hours on the beach and then exploring, it was time for the island barbecue that they have there, which is set up buffet style. They have three dining locations on the island. One of them is in the adults only area. So again, over at Serenity Bay. And then two are at the family beaches, one at each beach. And those locations are called Cookies Barbecue. Cookies Barbecue and Cookies 2 are the two locations on the island for everyone, for family to eat. And it's a set up buffet style. And they've got some just pretty decent food, right? It's just if you were going to host a big cookout for people. So, you know, you've got burgers, you've got hot dogs, you've got some, you know, chicken, you've got some sticky ribs, you've got you've got all the like macaroni salad, potato salads, corn salads, different, you know, little desserts like cookies and brownies, and you've got chips and that sort of thing, right?
Island barbecue it with like some like authentic like pineapple, mango,
no,
on the meats?
No, they had some, I mean they had some flavors like that, and it was more like the ribs were more like that, Justin.
Okay.
The dogs and the burgers, just it's a hot dog and cheeseburger, and you know, like yeah. The chicken had some spices to it, but nothing crazy, you know. And I think it's just so that it can appeal to everyone, you know, to most people,
broader range.
Yeah. So, and trust me, the food on the island is nothing to write home about, right? It's not going to blow you away. But for a mass-produced, you know, cheeseburger or hot dog or, you know, potato salad or what have you, it was fine. It was fine, right? Like, I was okay with it, right? I've had worse. And so it's like, I was fine with it. I wasn't going into it thinking that it was going to be this, like, gourmet meal that I was going to have on this island, right? It's a mass-produced, you know, barbecue, right? And so that's what it felt like. It's what it tasted like. And it was fine. But yeah, now the cookies on the island, this is the only place on the cruise that you can just get like a normal, like chocolate chip cookie. They have cookies on the ships on, over at Marceline Market, but they're like these real like thick boys. Like I'm telling you, like at least
like
an
a
inch
Gideon's cookie.
Well, like an inch thick, but then it's like it's just maybe like 2 inches in diameter. So it's like this hockey puck style, almost like a brownie cookie is what they are on the ship. And the ones on the island are this, you know, just giant classic, you know, baked cookie, chocolate chip cookie. So this is the only place you can get just that classic style chocolate chip cookie. And, you know, it's a decent idea because they got the soft serve just machine just over there chilling. So you just go over there and put some ice cream right on top of that and make you a nice little sandwich.
Because why not?
Right. I will have to say too, for the soft serve, they have one station that's chocolate and vanilla, right? And then you can get them swirled. And then the other one, they had strawberry and banana, and then you can get them swirled.
Now we're talking.
Give me that
one swirled.
That one I had.
Give me that one. Pour a little bit of coconut rum in.
What's the over under? How many cones I had personally while we were on the island?
Oh, you had to have consumed at least 12.
I'd say five. No, four.
I went with three. I went light on the soft serve on the island. But it was all strawberry banana too. Because once I had the first That's it. So if you're looking for that. Now, I don't know if they change it. So, Ryan, I'm not sure if you'll get the same experience or not. But yeah, strawberry banana was
strawberry banana with the vanilla.
Yeah, so you can't. You'd have to go back over to the station and get some more, to the other one. But yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. But, I mean, after lunch, it was back to the beach and just chilling. And honestly, that was most of the rest of the day of our time on the actual island was just enjoying the water again, enjoying the weather. The weather was perfect. It had like just a light breeze. It wasn't too hot, but it was hot enough to enjoy the water. The water was still had a little bit of a chill to it, right? This was a March sailing, so it still had that little bit of chill to it, but just perfect. I mean, perfect day, perfect weather, fantastic. We headed back to the ship at around, I'd say, 2 o'clock, and there were plenty of people on the beach still. There's plenty of people we saw even still getting off the ship when we were heading back at this time. And I think it was all aboard at about 4:30 or 4:45, I think was the all aboard time.
Okay.
And so, but we got onto the ship, and let me tell you, at that time, if you want to get some things done on the ship, this is the time to do it, because no one was on that ship. We went to the Grand Hall, the main atrium, and had the place to ourselves. It looked like the ship was empty. It was a ghost town. Not a single person in there. And we looked around, just videos and things, took pictures and things of all the little details that you just miss if you just walk by. And we must have been in there for 15 minutes and didn't see a single person. It was amazing. Wow. So we used that time to just explore a little bit back on the ship. We got the kids are ready to lay down. They definitely earned themselves a nap for that. And and then again, it was one of those like we talked about in the last episode where you just enjoy that balcony space while you have it, and until we were ready to get ready for dinner. But we had a plan for this evening, guys. So we've talked about this a little bit personally, and discussing the planning of the ship. I had wanted to do it earlier in the trip, but I just hadn't gotten to it yet. But I made a point. I said, boys, and this was talking to my dad and my brother-in-law. And I said, boys, we're going to have some old fashions before dinner tonight. So we made our way over. We got ready before all the ladies did. And we went out for a little boys' night before dinner started at 1923, which is the premier rotational experience here on the ship.
Right, classy fellas.
So we got dressed in our best, and then we went over to Hook's Barbary. And Hook's Barbary is a barbershop on board the ship. And depending on if you've listened to some episodes about us talking about Hook's Barbary, from 5 to 8:30-ish every night on the ship, Hook's Barbary turns into a little bit of a speakeasy bar. And it is, they specialize in old fashions. You can get, you can get a bourbon based, you can get rye based, but you get different whiskeys. But they have an old fashioned program that they run out of there, that of a hidden bar there in the barbershop. And guys, I knew we were heading the right direction, because when we turned the corner from the atrium area down the hallway, I could smell smoke from 300 feet away.
Yes.
And I was like, they're smoking old fashions. And so as we got closer and closer, it came into view. And that's exactly what was happening. It was so good because the staff member here, the knowledge that they have about the drinks, about everything going into it, these drinks are crafted to your individual liking, right? And they have different specialties that they'll walk you through and ask you what, you know, you'll choose. You get to select exactly which whiskey or bourbon you're going to have. You get to choose the syrup that goes with it. You get to choose the accompaniments with it. And so we all got different ones, myself, my brother-in-law, and my dad. But I went with a Japanese old-fashioned, which was and all these house-made syrups. So this was a vanilla syrup base with Suntory Japanese whiskey, and then orange peel and rosemary, fresh rosemary. Mm-hmm. In there. And then and then he smoked it for me as well. And let me tell you guys, this was so delicious, so good. The rosemary. One of my favorite parts too is he had a whiskey fragrance that he would spritz onto the glass before smoking, before serving it. And so we asked him, like, all right, what's the whiskey fragrance? Like, what, you know, what is that? And he's like, oh, it's just Woodford Reserve. It's literally a Woodford Reserve in like a perfume bottle, just misting. I was like, you want to spot my neck real quick for that?
Yeah, please. Like,
right.
Like, oh, what? I love your new scent. What is that you're wearing? Oh, it's just Woodford.
Yeah, single barrel. Just put a little dab behind my ear.
So like, I'm inspired now, sir. So it was a great experience.
What an experience.
I'll tell you, the price for this, mine was, again, it varies because of the whiskey that you select for it, right? But I had the Suntory whiskey. My dad and Philip had Angel's Envy bourbon for theirs. And I think mine was $22 and theirs was $16.
Yeah, but that's incredible for a crafted top shelf drink.
Crafted to exactly to what I asked, right? Yeah, like I built the drink. Good. He built it in front of me and walked me through the entire process of everything, right? It's just an incredible experience. And this doesn't just take like, hey, I want an old fashioned and you have it in 30 seconds. It took him, he probably spent at least 5 minutes on each of these drinks making them. Walking you through the entire process, as we were in there for probably 30 minutes.
You're in there for an experience.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I'd pay $16 for a Jack and Coke at Pop Century by the pool.
Yeah.
And you're paying a comparable price for a fully crafted experience.
Well, that's what I told, you know, I told Melissa, and, you know, she was like, the drink I got at dinner, which I didn't, you know, at dinner the night previously, which was at, you know, the frozen dinner, you know, they just bring it to your table, right? Nothing's going into it in front of you. You don't get to hear about anything. That drink was $22. And like, she didn't get to experience any of that, right? They just brought it to the table and she got to enjoy the drink. But to go through that and have something for the same price, So
why wouldn't you?
Out of all the experiences on the ship, this is a must do for anyone out there that likes old fashions, that likes bourbon. Especially, but I think even for people that may be iffy on bourbons, just go and experience this. Just go do it and just try it, right? So we got to do that. And then we walked down to 1923, which is right there off of the main atrium. And this is a restaurant that is, like I think, the fanciest restaurant out of the standard dining, the standard rotational dining. Of course, there is two other paid restaurant experiences that you can do. And so those are optional and additional to do adult only dining experiences. But, you know, out of the standard restaurants, 1923 is definitely the fanciest. It is split into two sides, Walt and Roy. We were on the Roy side of the restaurant. And this restaurant is all about, and the name would suggest, right, the origins of Disney animation. And that's what's on display throughout the restaurant. They have all these, you know, things they took from the Disney archives. And if anyone's watched the Making of the Wish documentary, you've seen some of these things in that documentary. It's just these pieces, these artifacts of all these animations and the way that animations come together to make the ultimate ending piece. And so you have works through of all different Disney animation films spread throughout the restaurant on display. And it's just incredible to just go through and, you know, the meal is one thing, but then going through and just taking your time walking through the restaurant and getting, I would suggest highly, if anyone's going to dine here, get up from the table and go walk around and see everything on display, because it is truly magnificent to see. And we've shot a little bit of that. That's going to be shown on, again, that will be on the YouTube videos. You'll see it on socials as well. So if you want to see more, go see that yourself there until you can get to 1923 yourself. But the meal again was also very good. This was the best meal that we had of our standard rotational dining experiences by far. Again, the appetizers, the soup here again, guys, I'm telling you, the soup at all these restaurants, I they really need to bring this to Walt Disney World. It reminds me of that corn chowder that you had at Nomad Lounge, Ryan, how good that soup was. That's what all these soups were. They were on that type of level, right? They were crafted soups. Everything was like just up another couple of notches and just incredible. So that was, again, here. We had, we started out with some ravioli, which is awesome. And then the soup here was like a potato soup. It was like a loaded potato soup, which was just incredible. I think it actually was a corn chowder based soup, but it's like a loaded potato soup, but like corn chowder based instead.
I like a good chowder.
It was fantastic. I had the filet for dinner. It was very good. It was so good, in fact, that I didn't even get a picture or a video of it because I was so hungry, and it was just, I devoured it. It was delicious. And then I had a nice apple tartlet for dessert. This is also, I like the ambiance of this restaurant as well the most. And I feel like we got lucky with this too, because we got sat in one of the very back booths. So it kind of, we were kind of like in our own little corner. And so it felt like a little semi-private. Obviously, there's people around us, but it just felt like being in the corner just felt nicer. And we were next to one of the giant porthole windows. And so you had that natural light coming through too, which was, again, just opened up the space a little bit for you. You didn't feel cramped and just incredible experience. This was the last night of dining. So this is where we said goodbye to our wait staff, who was just simply incredible. We learned that it was at this time that we learned that our that Sarah, she was our assistant waiter, you know, assistant wait staff. She had just come over. It was her first month on the job. She'd only been there for about 4 weeks. She was working at Epcot in the Italy Pavilion before this for a couple of years. So we probably have seen her over the years. I didn't know it.
That's incredible.
But yeah, but couldn't tell, right? She was, you know, trained superbly. She took her job very seriously. She's so gracious. And then, of course, we said goodbye to Lloyd, our head waiter there, and just incredible guy. I made a point to ask him where he'll be next, if he'll be on the Wish or if he'll be on the Treasure. They don't know yet. They actually get assignment for Treasure in a couple months, so they don't know if they'll be transferring. But I hope to see Lloyd very, very soon. Ryan, if you're lucky enough to get him for your sailing, man, you'll be in great hands. I wish you could go and ask for the staff member, right, to take care of you, because Lloyd would be number one on my list. And Sarah was just incredible, just the same. So, but yeah, it was a somber moment, because you had to say goodbye to the staff and you know, in full capacity, right? This is where you leave them their tips and things like that too. But just, it was great, because every night he had like a magic trick for the kids, and they would just get a kick out of all of his magic tricks, and just incredible experience. And then, you know, for this night afterwards, you know, it was kind of a scramble, I will say, after dinner, because you know, and now this is where this is the lesson learning part of the show here. Take your notes here. Make sure your pens are sharp. Make sure, just a word of the wise, because they leave your luggage tags with you for this night. Because the way the ships depart in the morning on your departure day is you have to be off the ship by about 8:30, 9 o'clock. Like, that's the time limit, essentially. Since we had the early dinner on the last night, we had the early breakfast on debarkation day, which means our breakfast was at 6:45 the next morning. And for your luggage, you have to have your luggage out with the tags ready to go by 10 o'clock, 10:30 that night. And so that means that you have to have all of your, you know, anything you're going to need for the next day, you're going to have to, you know, take out and have ready outside of those suitcases. Anything that you're going to need to take off the ship with you, you'll need to make sure that it fits into a carry-on, right, that you're going to take with you instead of leaving out for the staff. And then everything else got to get packed up, tagged, and put outside your cabin so they can take it away, and then you can pick it up on your time of debarkation. And this was, even though we knew this was coming, I hadn't prepared all the way for it, right? Like, I should have done a little bit more prep work on getting the bag packed as much as possible throughout the duration of the trip, or at least that afternoon when we kind of had that little bit of free time after coming back on board. So it was a little bit of a scramble to get everything packed so that the bags were ready to be taken away for the next, you know, for that next day. So I spent a lot of time that I could have been spending doing other things. I spent that time packing. So now, having experienced that now, I will absolutely not make that mistake again. But I think that was just an important lesson for us to learn, was we had never debarked the ship that way. And so to right. go through that, and now we know better, essentially. So that's just a word of the wise, just kind of, as you can, get that stuff picked up, because we had brought a little like pop-up laundry basket with us, which was incredible. It's one of those little circular pop-ups, and we used that for all of our dirty laundry. Boom, 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 throw it in and you're good. So that made it easy to collect all the dirty laundry at the end and, you know, put it away in a suitcase. But it was all the little things that kind of got spread across the room and that sort of thing that you just always are, you know, looking for. And then we're like, all right, are we going to need this for tomorrow or not? And so if I would do it over again, I would just kind of collect those things a little bit more consistently, I would say, prior to the last night. We weren't the only ones. I mean, we had to go to guest services that night to try to apply some gift cards to our room, to our bill. And while we were standing in line, there were people discussing like, oh, we have to get our, you know, bags out by 10:30. And it was like, I think the time was 10:30 and it was like 9:45. they were saying this, like, oh, it's 9:45 now. Like, we need to go get our bags ready. They hadn't even started. So we definitely weren't the only ones, but if you want to make a smoother transition for yourself, do that, because it'll make that last evening much more enjoyable for you. So that's kind of my tips and notes portion of the episode, and really of the trip. Is that was definitely the most stressful part of the trip entirely. We didn't get to enjoy those last few hours, so to speak, right? We did, you know, venture out after that and just try to enjoy a little bit of the activities that were happening around the ship. But it wasn't, there was still enough going on, but it wasn't like overwhelming. So, you know, we could have taken a lot more advantage of a lot more things if we'd done the right things sooner. But yeah, after we went to bed, and you get up, it's early the next day. Like I said, our breakfast was at 6:45. So we were up at about 6 o'clock or so that morning, getting showered up, ready to go. And then as you take your carry-ons and stuff with you to breakfast. And so at 6:40, we're saying goodbye to our cabin for the last time. And it's somber. We got to see our wait staff one more time, you know, for breakfast that morning. Since and then you go back to the for breakfast on debarkation day, you go back to the restaurant that you ate at last. And so ours was at 1923, and you get just this. They have a special menu for debarkation day, and just simple kind of, you know, French toast, eggs, that sort of thing, fruit. And so while it was nice to be able to see the staff and sit down and have a breakfast meal rather than going up and having the stresses of the buffet upstairs, it is kind of a quick service. Like, hey, here you go. Thanks for coming by. Thanks for coming to breakfast. But you need to get a little, we got to get this thing prepped for the people that are coming on board soon. So it is kind of a rushed service, so to speak, too. But they did it very professionally, and I don't blame them one bit for trying to get us off the ship a little bit, right? But yeah. When we walked out, they color code your tags, right? Put a little character on them. That's how you know whose time it is to leave the ship. And by the time we were done with breakfast, everyone was debarking. So we got in line, got off the ship, and the process is, guys, again, Disney shines this way, where the process for getting off the ship, finding your luggage, going through customs, incredibly efficient. We literally walked off the ship, say goodbye, go over to the baggage claim area, which they just have divided by those tags, identifiers. And you go up to these racks and you find your luggage, boom, go. You get in line for customs. We were in line for literally 4 minutes. Customs quickly went through all of our stuff. And I mean, the whole process from literally stepping off the ship to getting to the garage, to the parking garage, to our car, was maybe 10 minutes.
Wow.
It was incredible. I mean, we waited in line to get off the ship 3-4 minutes, and then add on that 10 minutes of everything else. Yeah. 15 minutes from ending breakfast till we were at our car. So incredibly efficient. But again, sad to go. Like I said, I said this in the YouTube video. I think I've said it before. It was great. It was a great first experience on Disney Cruise Lines. Love the Disney Wish. 3 nights is definitely too short. I think 5 nights would be perfect for this ship. Maybe 7, because there's so much to do. Like I mentioned, so much to do, so much going on all the time. You can't possibly do it all. So 3 nights is definitely too short. I can't wait to go do it again. I've been looking at different itineraries. So who knows? Maybe we'll find ourselves on the Disney Wish again sooner rather than later. And then, like we talked about too, we've got these new fleets coming out with the Treasure and the Destiny. So you know, we'll see what happens with those ships and if we find ourselves on them soon as well. But so yeah, it was great. Ryan, you're going to love this ship. I can't say enough good things about it. Everything was just on such another level. And like I mentioned too, I don't know if the industry as a whole has changed in the last 10 years this much, or if it's just the Disney difference, but just incredible, just an incredible experience from head to toe. It's like you got that itch. Like as soon as you get off, you're like, well, now I need to find another one. It really is true. And so I can't wait for you to experience that. Justin, you got to get on board now too, man. It's time. So I can't, you got to get the itch. It's great. So yeah, but it wasn't the end of our trip. As we've mentioned, we did get to spend a night over at Walt Disney World. We got an opportunity to go over to Wilderness Lodge and stay at the Boulder Ridge Villas for the first time ever, which had been just recently renovated. So that was a very nice treat. We had a 2-bedroom villa, which was just felt ginormous. I don't know how many square feet that thing is, but it's got to be at least, I don't know, it's got to be at least 1,200 square feet. It's big. full kitchen, full living room, foyer area. You've got one bedroom. It's got 2 queen beds in it with a bath and the shower and big walk-in closet. And, you've got a big jetted tub. You got a king bed in the other bedroom, giant bathroom area, giant closet. I mean, built, you know, you got your laundry in there as well. Just incredible room. They've done such a great job with that renovation. And you guys know that we, you know, love staying at Wilderness Lodge, getting experience, you know, Geyser Point for lunch, getting to swim in the Boulder Ridge pool for a long time. We got to have dinner over at Whispering Canyon, and just an incredible experience to stay there every single time. I love it. I love it. So, that was our time. We loaded up everything and headed back the next day, which was also nice too, because we were able to just relax back into getting home. We got some laundry done while we were there too. We took advantage of the laundry in the room and got some Absolutely. Of our laundry done from the cruise while we were there. Right. And so while we were swimming,
if you've never done that.
Yeah. So, you know, why wait when you get to home, and you just kind of, you know, you're already paying for the facility. Right. So, they provide, you know, detergent and things for you. So took advantage of that.
Full advantage of the amenities.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, it was great. And, you know, allowed us to, right, the next morning we got breakfast and, just some items from the store there, at Wilderness Lodge, and brought it back, and we cooked breakfast in the room. And that's, again, you know, a nod to having the amenities of that full kitchen. You can just cook, and we had a full meal right there for breakfast there, and much cheaper than going and paying for even a quick service yep. meal, right? So, and then what we decided to do was my parents headed home after that, and so we stuck behind just a little bit. And, you know, we had talked about recently, we had talked about Pop Century. Ryan, it was when you were talking about Flower and Garden for your trip a few weeks ago. And, you know, I mentioned that it had been a long time since I went over to Pop Century. And so we decided to take a bus from Wilderness Lodge to Hollywood Studios. And then we rode the Skyliner all the way to down to Pop Century from Hollywood Studios. So we took the Skyliner over and just enjoyed, you know, some Skyliner time. And then we walked around Pop Century, played in the arcade there a little bit, which is gigantic. And then we went back to just made our way back up to the Skyliner and just back down and around, and, you know, winded up back over at Wilderness Lodge. So it was a good time to just relax. We had lunch over at the Polynesian. And so just an incredible way to kind of ease back into non-vacation mode, so to speak, right? And just take it easy. We weren't on a schedule, really. Just another kind of shining way of getting around Walt Disney World without going to the parks. You know, it was spring break, so we were blocked out. And so we didn't have a park ticket. So, but we made our way around and still enjoyed ourselves and enjoyed some of the access, you know, to things there at the resorts. So yeah, that was our last 2-day experience on the Wish and at Wilderness Lodge Boulder Ridge. And again, just an incredible experience. I'm super lucky to be able to do it. Again, big props to my parents who made a lot of this happen for our whole family. So we couldn't have done it without them. Incredibly thankful for them and the sacrifice that they did to help you know, our entire family enjoy this trip. It was just really, really good. And again, I can't wait for you guys to experience for yourself. And we'll be sitting here in a few weeks and hearing you talk about your experience, Ryan.
Yeah. It's very ironic that we are wrapping up your, you know, series of going over your trip, because literally today my luggage tags got delivered.
Yeah. That's
it. So it begins.
It's a good feeling, man. It's like, it's real. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't wait. And this whole journey of these past three episodes is just making the build up even that more, because I can't wait to live some of these experiences myself. I can't wait to go to Hook's Barbary now and have a smoked old fashioned.
Yeah. Like, oh man.
Yeah. I've got to do it.
Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. And I was able to capture a little bit of it, in video, so that it's there on the YouTube. We'll have some things flash up on socials as well. So anyone listening, you'll get to live vicariously a little bit through that means, but until you experience it for yourself in person, it's not quite there, right? But yeah, incredible. And I can't wait to get into the details after you experience it all, man. And we didn't even, I just realized too, we didn't even discuss the fits, but you'll see in the YouTube, you'll see on the socials, but Roosevelt's took care of us on the ship and on the
Our
cruise.
Our guy was dripping.
I mean, I did rock the tux to Castaway. I did rock the Mickey tux to Castaway. So, so you'll see a little bit of that on YouTube and in the socials. But as always, man, Roosevelt's just, they keep the game strong. So, but yeah, it's great. Thanks for allowing me to jabber on about this, in totality for about, 3.5 hours, 4 hours now, throughout these little mini series. I appreciate everyone listening and taking a look at it because, the numbers are there. People are definitely interested in hearing about this. So I appreciate everyone that's listened so far and hope you've learned something through this. And hey, stay tuned because, Ryan will be experiencing his. And like I said, I'm feverishly looking for our next opportunity because I got the bug and I'm hooked.
I'll be with you soon, I'm sure. Way less than 60 days now away from sailing. So yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I know it. I just got to accept it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, that about wraps it up for our debarkation process here as we wrap up Jordan's Disney Wish vacation with his family. What a great 3-part series that we got to experience and live vicariously through you, Jordan. So thank you for documenting all that for the people and for us. And
yeah,
Ryan, I know we are looking forward to seeing what you experience and maybe some additional information that you could dig up and provide for the people when we document your experiences on the Disney Wish. But don't forget, folks, visit the episode description. We have a bunch of affiliates that are supporters of the show, and they are great people, great products. World of DVC in their umbrella of companies, fantastic people. We love them to death. Go check them out. Check their services out. I'm sure you can find some way to implement their services, and they'll save you some money in your trips. And don't forget about our folks over at Expedition Roasters, just number one in the coffee game. Just go check it out. All the information is in the episode description for saving some money, discount codes, and all that good stuff. So please visit the episode description. And while you're also looking through everything, please check out our rating systems that are available on the platforms of your choosing. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify users, we're talking to you guys. Give us a star rating, whatever you feel we deserve. We are aiming for the 5-star rating. Thank you very much. And if you're able to leave a brief synopsis of the show, please do. It just helps us reach additional people. And that's all we want to do is just reach more and more ears and, talk Disney. That's what we're here for. We love helping people out and, like-minded individuals and adults. And that's what we're here for. We love talking about it. We love hearing from you guys and the interactions. So please, if you're able to leave a little synopsis, please.
Yeah.
That'll help us out greatly.
Absolutely.
All right, gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up. Any last words for the folks?
Just thanks again. Appreciate everyone listening, tuning in. And go check out the YouTube video at Off the Monorails.
All those things. Come see us. Come follow us. There's a lot of good stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jordan, for all this great information. And I'll be ready to step up to the plate and do mine now.
Yes.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to wrap this up. I'm Justin.
I'm Jordan.
And I'm Ryan.
This is Off the Monorails.